The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And, boy, I'll tell you, so today, let's see what we can talk about a little bit, because today I released a series of questions for oneness people. I've got people who want to challenge me more and more, and so what I've been doing is working on a list of questions for various issues. I've got annihilationism done, atheism done, and oneness. I'm also going to be doing some on Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholicism. And the reason is because I want to know what people who challenge me to a debate, I want to know what they teach, what they believe, where they are. And so I've been working on it off and on, and my policy will now be that if they want to debate me, they have to answer the questions. Doesn't guarantee that I'll debate them, but that way I can find out what they believe, where they were coming from, instead of having to spend debate time to find out what their position is. So that's that. And hey, Terry Blade, and how are you? Sheila Robertson, and we got others if you want to come on in. You can watch the show. Go to carm.org, carm.org, and the homepage. You'll see the link on the right-hand side. It says Matt Slick Live. You can click on that and watch the show. It's not the big deal, but what is nice is that people are in the chat area, and they talk. And people have made friendships out of them. There's some regulars there. So praise God for that. We usually have 60 or so people in there for the debate that I had a couple of nights ago. We had, I saw at one point 120, four, six or something like that, people in the room. And, so, you know, it does get up there. We used to have like 600, we've had over 1,000 people watching before. And then I think it was Facebook that put the kibosh on being able to share out videos and things like that. So, you know, that's what happens. And, okay, we have 5 open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Now tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, I'm teaching a Bible study. Now, the way it's evolved is it really starts a half hour after that. Because here in Idaho, people, they get here about 7:10. So we just start at 7:30, which is 9:30. So that's what we officially do really start. So if you're interested in participating or watching, you can. All you got to do is go to the CARM homepage, and it'll be on tonight. Also, the CARM Facebook page, because I feed it out to both. And I just sit in the living room, and people gather around, and then I teach. What we're going through is Galatians chapter 3, the last half of the chapter. Well, actually kind of starting at verse 11. And we're going through the issue of the law, and we'll get into law and faith, and I'll be hammering on this because Paul does. That's where we're going. And I'm going to be talking about the false doctrine of Roman Catholicism and its doctrine of salvation, the false doctrine of Eastern Orthodox regarding the salvation, oneness, Pentecostal. I'll do Islam. I'll talk about different groups and what the nature of the law is and how it relates to faith. And actually, I was reading through some stuff today, and I found an interesting verse. And when I do that, you know, I get interested about some of the things that are there. And what was that one? That's a different one. But I think it was in Galatians. That's right, it was in Galatians. And so anyway, no big deal. But, you know, when I'm studying the Bible, a lot of times what happens is that I'll see a verse and go, oh, man, hey, I never thought of it that way before. And I'll go over that a little bit tonight. Okay, again, we have 5 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Don't make me just sit here and ramble. So Ed, what happens is we always have more calls than we can get to towards the end of the show, and that's just how it works. So If you're free, give me a call now. All right, so this issue of justification and the like, I'm going to tell you that all false religious systems add human works to salvation. Now, last night I was on a chat system and Discord, and I go in there, and periodically what will happen is people start firing questions at me. And we got into the issue of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. And I was telling them that they are on their way to hell. The Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox and all who don't affirm Christ and trust in Christ alone. And I was saying it politely. I was trying not to be mean. I just say, look, this is what it is. And you guys are adding works to salvation. And they kept saying, no. It's the work that God does in us. And I said, so then what does the Bible say to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, or the godly, his faith is credited as righteousness? What they would do and what the false religious systems do repeatedly is try and justify a way that they need to prove to God and demonstrate to God that their faith is real by doing works. But those works don't actually save them, but you can't be saved by faith alone. So it's really contradiction. If you're saved by faith alone, then your works don't have any part of it. But what they'll say is it's not by faith alone, but it's by grace alone. And so God's grace enables you to do good works along with the belief. So it's really God's work in you, and that's how you're saved. So in other words, you're still doing works to get saved. And the cults and Catholicism, the Eastern Orthodox, spend a lot of time blurring the issue of salvation. One of the things I will do, and I asked this guy last night, we were talking, and I said, look, do you agree or disagree with the scripture that says, in Romans 5:1, having therefore been justified by faith? I mean, all I do is just quote it. Do you agree or disagree? He says, well, you know, that's what the scripture says. I said, agree. I said, good. So God grants that we believe. He grants that we have faith. That's Philippians 1:29. Do you agree that God grants that we have faith? He says, well, yes. And I said, then let me ask you, if God grants that we have faith, that's the real faith, the true faith. God grants it. Then are we justified when we have that faith that God grants to us, since the Bible says we're justified by faith? And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where they have problems. And sometimes they'll say yes, but you have to have an intention to get baptized. You see, so they always have to have a ceremony. They always have to have something. You're never just justified by faith in Christ alone, but by faith and your ability to do something. It's how it always is. Now you just got to tell them, you know what, you're believing a false gospel, because they are. All right, hey, let's get to Vicki from Raleigh, North Carolina, and we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Vicki, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I just had to ask you some questions. I was going back and reading because I was talking to my sister today and about your theory and everything, which I've learned from you about post-tribulation rapture.
Yeah.
And so I said, but you know, I've never gone and really read the scriptures myself about it, so I'm going to do that today. And so I did, and I went to your little, you know, sheets you had there, spreadsheet, and started writing down, and I made myself write out all the verses. Well, I haven't talked through the whole thing yet, because it helps me remember things about ADD, and writing helps me. So anyhow, I just had a couple of questions looking at Matthew 24:10, when it talks about, it says, at the time, many will fall away, will turn away from the faith, and will betray and hate each other. Are they actually talking about saved people there?
No, because 1 John 2:19 says they went out from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. So when he talks about falling away, he's talking about the visible organization thing of the church. If you go to 2 Thessalonians 2.
The kind of people that are sitting in the pews and...
Right. And notice what it says here in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, talking about the coming of Christ and the arrival of the Antichrist. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So the apostasy has to come first. Well, Jesus said that in Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. In other words, they're not going to be deceived. The elect are not going to be deceived. And so Mm-hmm. Well, the apostasy would have to be due to a form of deception and or lies and things like that. And so when we look at the whole thing, what he's talking about is the appearance of Christianity, those who go to church, sit in the pews, those who claim to be Christians, etc., there's mm-hmm. going to be a great deception among them. There are the elect who are the true believers. So we have what we call in theology the visible and the invisible church. The visible church, the people who carry the Bibles, they go sit in the pews on Sunday. The invisible mm-hmm. church are those who are actually redeemed and actually regenerated and are justified. And so we don't know all who are in the invisible, and certainly the visible church will fall away. And we're seeing a lot of this happen today in today's world, where a lot of Christians are buying into some of the false doctrines that are taught mm-hmm. by the secular world and inside of Christianity, taught by Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and Pagan, he passed away, Joel Osteen, because they don't understand the truth. So,
okay. That kind of, I think you already answered possibly part of my next question. Then in mm-hmm. Matthew 24:12-13, it says, because mm-hmm. of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So I'm assuming there, would that potentially be the people, when you talk about standing firm, besides the Christians, would that be the ones who maybe were not saved until in the tribulation? Because when we talk about the ones who stand firm to the end will be saved.
Yeah, it's a difficult verse, and those who teach you can lose your salvation will go to this verse a lot. They'll say, see, if you don't endure, then you won't be saved. But, and I would say, well, you're right. If you don't endure, you're not saved. And if you do endure, you will be saved, but then the Bible says we're already saved. You know, these things are written so you may know you have eternal life, John 5:13. So what they want to say is that during the tribulation period, that you have to endure and do good things and be faithful, and based on that, you'll be saved. But that can't be true doctrine, because that's salvation by works. So when it talks about being saved, enduring to the end, well, there is debate about this within Christian circles, real serious debate. And I lean towards the idea that you'll be delivered through the tribulation for those who endure, that the salvation is not of against your sins and eternal judgment, but against the one who is the evil one during that tribulation period. And because he says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation occur. So, in eschatology, there's what's called full preterism, partial preterism. There's pre-mill, all-mill, post-mill, all this stuff. Partial preterism says that the things spoken of in Matthew 24, Luke 17, Mark 13, that these parallel areas of Scripture were fulfilled at the time of Christ and will also be fulfilled again at the return of Christ. And there's good reason for this. Because when you read, you see that, well, there are certain things that he said will happen, and then yet he says there are certain things that look like it's tied into when he returns. And so this area of Scripture is written a little enigmatically.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on, we got a break, okay? I know you got more questions.
Okay. No problem.
All right. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Vicki. Welcome, Vicki. You're back on.
Thank you. There was one question, but I forgot to write it down. But so the last one I'll ask you, I guess, is in Matthew 24:29, where it mm-hmm. says the stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly yeah. bodies will be shaken. Do you believe that's literal?
No. If the stars fall from the sky, that means we're dead. Because they're all...
I just wonder, maybe God created a new earth and can you see at the same time?
No, it's just exaggeration of the sun will be dark and the moon will not give us light. The stars will fall from the sky. Now, there are different ways of looking at it. This is language of judgment. And it's used like this in the Old Testament, okay, in different places, in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And if we're to say the stars, well, what were they looking at when they would say the stars? You know, just those twinkles up there. Well, if there's a meteor shower, there's meteors that come and hit us, that would be stars falling from the heaven from their perspective. So in that sense, you know, sure, no problem. It's just like they called a bat a bird. And critics have said, well, see, it's obviously it's not a bird, it's a mammal. And I said, no, you understand, they classified all things that flew like that as birds. That was just the word they used for all that. It's how they defined it. So they're correct in according to how they defined it. And so when we look at stars as an example, you know, it could be, they could have fallen, we call them falling stars, you know, the meteors that come down. And it's a meteor, but when it hits the ground, it's a meteorite, so people know that. So it could be something like that, talking about signs in the heavens, cataclysm, could be all kinds of stuff. I don't know, maybe solar flares and a meteor shower at the same time. Some say it might be a thermonuclear this or a comet that hits us. Or an asteroid and ejects material up into the sky, and we can't see the sun. So it'll be darkened. You know, who knows? I don't know for sure, but they don't.
Yeah, I was just curious because I know you said before. You know, you said some things aren't literally like literal or anything. And I want to thank you. I'm going to get serious. I've never been able to get into and enjoy my Bible the way I have with you, and I want to thank you for that. It's like it opened up a whole new world for me. Sorry.
That's okay.
You did, and it's like, it's wonderful. I'm like, Amanda, how come I can never get into like this before, you know?
Yeah.
God bless you.
Well,
because I'm like freaking almost 62. And I've been, you know, Christian since I was a child, you know?
And now you're finally learning.
ADD or what? I just never could really. But now I'm like, I'm gonna be bugging the crap out of you now. I'm gonna call you all the time.
Then, oh, that's okay.
Thank you.
And
God bless you for all you do.
Hey, well, praise God. You know, just praise God. So I'm glad you're listening and learning, and
I'm glad
that God's given you that unction to study more. So praise God.
It's a wonderful thing. I'm excited.
Well, good
thank
for you.
Again.
You're welcome.
Sure, you'll be talking to me again soon.
No problem. No problem at all, Vicki. Anytime. All right, that was Vicki. You know, folks, I have had people tell me that that when they study, they start listening. After a while, they go, "Oh, now it's starting to make sense." And it's really kind of interesting because how come that hasn't been happening? And you know, with the churches they go to, I think it does. A lot of churches. I think a lot of churches are good teachers, but we kind of get those. The squeaky wheel issue here, and that's okay. Let's get to Bill from Des Moines, Iowa. Bill, welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I had no idea that this would open this big a can of worms when I started studying this.
Oh, but good. what is it?
Who are the elect?
Oh, the elect
because
are those...
As far as I understand, the use of the word elect in Greek and in English is interchangeable with chosen.
Correct.
So who are the elect and who are the chosen, and why is there a difference?
Because it's just the verb form and how it's used when we say, you know, we can say he's elect, we can say he's been chosen. In fact, in Greek, there are three main words used for that. And
yeah.
One is eklektos, another is ekleke, and another one is eklegomai. And so, but there's also kaleo, which is to call. And in Greek, I'm going to show you something here. So I'll back up a little bit. So there are three main words. Eklektos, that starts with an E or an epsilon. Eklektos, then eklege, then eklegomai. So each of these is E-K-L. We would look at them. Eklektos, eklegomai, eklege. The word for calling is another word in Greek called kaleo. And when you make it in the past tense, to call as the called. You put an E on the front and you get the eklek again. Well, what's interesting is that the word in Greek for church is ekklesia. So that there's, what it is the church, the Christians, the real Christians are those who are chosen, those who are elect. And a lot of people do not like this doctrine. And if you don't like the doctrine and you don't want to hear it, turn the channel. But if you're curious...
Well, that doesn't bother me any.
But there are a lot of people who don't like it because they just say God would never choose anybody. But
sure
he does.
He would.
Yeah, and he does. So here's some of the verses. It says in Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation...
Well, I'll give you a good example. He chose Abraham.
Yeah, I'm going to get to some verses here. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so it says in Ephesians 1:4, as it says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless. That's salvation. He chose us, right? And then he predestined us. That's Ephesians 1:5. And then when you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. If we go to Acts 9:15, we see that Jesus says of Paul, he is a chosen instrument of mine. That's the word chosen, right? And that's eklege. So the chosen are the ones from the foundation of the world that God has called into salvation and has ordained that they be saved. And also it can be used in different qualities of work. Israel was chosen as a nation. And as you mentioned properly, Abraham was chosen as individuals. So individuals are also chosen as well as groups of people. And that's what election is, to be chosen for God's work in that sense. Okay?
Amen.
That's what it says. So you've been studying this.
I have. And I ran into that, and I got different opinions from other people. I'm like, those two words are interchangeable. So,
right.
who do you think that applies to? And I have gotten all kinds of different answers.
I agree
with yours the most.
Well,
that's the line I follow. God has sovereign. He can choose. Mm-hmm. He does choose, and he has chosen.
That's right.
And you have to accept that.
You have to accept the truth. That's exactly correct. I would also, if I were you in this context, is go to Romans 9:9-23. And study.
Romans 9:9-23.
Yes,
I will.
That talks about this a lot, too. All right, buddy? We got a break.
Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Give me a call for the open lines. 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your call at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everyone. We have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Joe from Durham, North Carolina. Joe, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And thank you for Carm. Thank you for this show, and thank you for your Bible studies, because I agree with one of the previous callers. So I discovered the show and through the Truth Network, and then started watching your Bible studies, and then reading a lot on Karn, Weeks Mormon, and
Well, good. I'm grateful.
Have the courage and knowledge to try and help them. And so, anyways, to get to my question, my dad is a Catholic, but I've been praying for opportunity to have. First of all, I had the courage to tell him the truth about the Catholic Church, and he opened it up really well, because he was complaining about one of their ridiculous rules where you have to, where you can't even come to the altar. I think he was talking about Mary not getting his divorce. I don't know what it was. Anyway, So I had a good conversation with him, and now that the door is open, I've been trying to work on him a little bit every day, send him a Bible verse so we can talk about it. And yesterday I sent him Psalm 34:19, you know, that the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And his question was, well, what about the unrighteous? And I, you know, so I told him, also something I learned from your website, how Christ imputed his Christ's righteousness imputed to us. So we, through believing in Jesus, we are righteous in God's eyes. If I'm correct, hopefully there. And so we further went into discussion, and I gave him some Bible verses, and it went well. But I guess my question is, I made a comment, and I'm wondering if this was true. And the comment is, so anyways, he understood, and da-da-da-da. Okay, so to get to the comment, I said, so the unrighteous are the unbelievers, and unbelievers and false believers, and I made the comment, are the same thing in God's eyes. Is that true, Matt? Unbelievers and,
well,
by Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, is it the same thing in God's eyes?
Well, there's a yes and no. I mean, we don't know exactly what degree of consideration God gives to different people in different contexts. But atheists and, as you mentioned, Mormons both deny the true and living God. And so they're going to go to hell on the day of judgment. And just as the Roman Catholics deny the true gospel, they will too. And so all who deny that. Now, unbelievers, we would say, are atheists as an example. You can also have Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, you may put it this way. Unbelievers would be someone like, let's just say atheists for now. And a false believer would be someone who says they're a Christian, but really are not. And they are self-deceived. They believe falsely, like Mormonism. You know, God from another planet, God and his wife have relations, make spirit babies in heaven. Well, that's not the Bible. The Bible contradicts it flat out. And so they are false believers, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses are also false believers, just like the Oneness Pentecostal are also false believers, because they're denying the true God, Trinity, and they're also denying the true doctrine of salvation. So there are plenty of groups of people who believe that they're saved, believe that they're in the truth, but are really not. And they're different from just flat-out unbelievers who don't care and who don't acknowledge God at all. So false believers will acknowledge what they think is the true God, and yet they are lost.
Right. Okay. So, all right. Yeah, and like I said, I'm getting a lot more courage now when I see doors open to try to help people, but I think the reason why I haven't in the past is for things like this, because I do not want to say anything that's wrong or that, you know.
Well, let me jump in on that one.
From God's word.
If you don't want to say anything because you might say something wrong, then you're never going to say anything. And you just have to realize that you have to trust God and go. I can pretty much guarantee you I've made a lot more mistakes than you have in this. Probably. I mean, I don't know. But I have made so many mistakes witnessing, evangelizing, debating, teaching. It's humongous. And not that they're intentional.
That gives you confidence because you're really good at what you do.
Well, I've been doing this for 41 years. And a lot of people just don't know, you know, that in the early days I was pretty rough and, let's just say, needed a lot of work and a lot of polish. And so as we mature, God works on us, and now here we are. So God gets all the glory. But, so don't be afraid to take risks for Him. You know, my philosophy is to take risks, and sometimes it doesn't work out. So years ago, I was asked by The Daily Show in New York to be on. They were going to interview me for a special segment, and I said, no, you guys are, you'll make me look bad, you'll false edit stuff. And they pursued me for several weeks, promising they wouldn't do it, and they did do it once I went out there. And they Frankensteined me. They took different things to put together. Yeah, uh-huh. I was with Samantha. I didn't meet him, but I was with Samantha B for a few hours. So the thing is, we take risks, and sometimes those risks pay off, and sometimes those risks don't pay off. Sometimes we think that what didn't work, it was a complete failure, and other times we might think that, and it is a failure, and other times it might not be. But one thing I remember is that when the cameraman and I were walking, and Samantha B was up in front of us, we're walking outside, she was talking to one of the producers or something, and I'm talking to the cameraman, and the cameraman asked me, he said, why do you do what you do? And the camera was off, and I just told him, I gave him the gospel. And so, that's success. But you see, I believe, take a chance for the Lord. Don't be stupid. You know, I'm going to jump off this building, God's going to catch me. No. Try, and if you don't do well, then study. Just ask God to give you more wisdom and more words. That's what Christians need to be doing. And that's why I say I've made so many mistakes, but I learn from them and keep going. Okay?
I have been praying for this a lot, and it was a great. I got a lot of bad things going on in my life right now, like
mm-hmm.
and all that. But yeah. I tell you what, after I had that good conversation with my dad, nothing
we'll
else mattered. Because, you know,
that's right.
It was great, you know. And I had all the words that I needed. You know, I all the Bible verses that I think that I'm going to stumble and trip over. I just boom, just kind of like, you know, because I watch you a lot, Matt, and I love when you're giving somebody the truth, how you recite the Bible verse, you know, as you make a point, you recite the Bible verse. You keep doing it over and over and over.
Yeah.
So anyways, I was doing a Matt Slick with my dad, and everything just came out right, and he, later on, he sent me a text, and my head is spinning right now. And it said something further. So I know it, you know, it got to him, and hopefully.
Good.
And of course, I've been praying a lot about it since then. And it was just, all worked
God.
Out. My prayers were answered. My prayers were answered by calling you because I knew there was another reason, not just that question. It's not really important. There was another reason, and what you told me, I appreciate it.
You're welcome, and praise God, and just keep trying, and just ask God to use you and move forward, and He will. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Joe. God bless, man. All right, we have open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Anonymous from Planet Earth. Okay. So you're on there. So what do you got?
Well, it's my planet Mars.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, how do you handle, or I couldn't handle it because it was at a friend's birthday party, and these that are friends of mine and know that I'm tremendously Christian just said that it's okay to one be lesbian, the other one
I'm not sure I'm understanding you, but we have a break coming up, so after the break, just get on and just ask me that question, and we'll see how it goes. Okay. Hey, folks, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We're back with Anonymous from Planet Earth. All right, do you have that question ready?
Yes, I do. Do you hear me? And I'm better?
I hear you.
All right. It's mainly about Romans 1:18-32.
Okay.
and, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and stuff like that. I asked this because I was at a party, and then these friends of mine, they spoke it, and they said it's okay, it's all, you know, to do what I'm massively against. And not just that, the Bible says it. I just like to know if you could explain to me Romans 1:18-32.
Sure.
I know it's long, but you know it. You should know it by memory. I know it.
Yeah, I can break it down for you.
And I would just like to say that I'm friends with them, but not being close at all, you know.
Okay. Here's the thing. When you're at a party or talk with people and they say homosexuality is okay, you can ask them a question. You can say, is your opinion the universal standard of truth? And they're going to, what? Well, you believe it, but is that belief the right one for everybody? What are they going to say? If they say, well, no, well, then you can't say it is or is not right. It's just your opinion. And, well, it's just your opinion, too. Well, God has revealed it in the Bible. And you speak like that. God has revealed it in the Bible. And he's declared it to be a sin against him. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So this is what I do. I say, what standard have you got that's universally applicable? Because people make the mistake of just assuming that their opinion is true. Oh, homosexuality is okay? Yeah, why? Because they have the right to do what they want to do. Who says? Where'd you get that? They look at you, they might think you're crazy. Say, wait a minute, you can do what you want to do, right? Well, that means you can go out and rob a bank and that's okay? Well, no, I didn't mean that. Well, what do you mean? What standard do you have by which you can say something is right or wrong? And does the homosexual community have its right to impose its values on others? Because that's what's happening in schools, and it's being imposed upon us in TV. Christians are the ones who were made to look buffoons, morons, bigoted, full of hate. And yet, the homosexuals are the ones who are the heroes. And I say, is that not a kind of desire to have their opinion taught to everybody else? Are you okay with that? And if you are, is it okay if the Christians come back and say, no, our opinion needs to be out there? You ask them these kind of questions, you'll find that the unbeliever will quickly fold. They don't have answers to this. And then sometimes they'll say, well, it's a universal truth. This is what the best they got. It's a universal truth. People have the right to do what they want with their own bodies. Okay, do you agree with universal vaccination requirements? Is abortion okay? Because they're going to say, yes, it's your own body. Well, wait a minute. You know, the baby in the womb, it's not the mom's body. So you're going to kill it? See, whenever they offer something, all you got to do is ask more questions. Think about what they're saying. Undermine their assumptions and presuppositions and ask if they can validate them. And you'll find that the unbelievers will cave. They can't justify what they teach, what they have. They can't. Okay? All right.
No, I'm going to have to say that you are massively correct, you know, on my side. And mm-hmm. How about if they ask you a weird question? Because some of them from TBN and Joel Olstein. And they don't even have a Bible in their home, you know? And every time I go to their home to visit and say hi, I always ask the Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's good.
Strong.
That's good. That's good. Well, do you have another question?
Because what you gave me was a great answer. I have to say that.
Okay.
I ask another question?
Real fast, okay?
I have a book on the Trinity by James R. White.
Good.
The Forgotten Trinity. What do you think of that book? Because I, from what I've read, I truly love it.
It's I know James White. He's a great guy. He knows his stuff, and you can trust what he teaches about the Trinity. So it'll be good. Okay?
That, all right. I truly want to thank you, and I wish more pastors would teach about that, and also mainly about the Trinity.
Yeah, they need to. They need to. I'm doing a series on the Trinity, and I need to turn it into a booklet of some sort and stuff about the necessity of it as a foundation for truth, holiness, marriage, discussion, everything. So anyway, we got to go,
great.
Okay?
That's all great. Right. God bless, and keep it up, and please keep me in prayers.
God bless, man. Okay.
If you're a strong Christian.
All right.
All right. God bless, and keep it up. Keep it up.
All right, thanks. All right, let's get to Gary from Utah. Hey, Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, man?
Okay, I know we've talked before. Finally getting a question before you guys end. Okay, here's what the deal with the layout. A lot of times I go on YouTube, and sometimes I'll watch different, you know, Christian videos. I'll make sure it's, you know, straight from the Bible, of course. Sometimes I like to listen to my favorite pastor, which is David Jeremiah, and some of the others, Ray Comfort, people like that. Anyways, in the comments section, you're always going to get somebody. It just always happens. And what I mean is people like Black Hebrew Israelites, mm-hmm. as well as Jews who have not accepted Christ, they're not messianic. So they'll come out and say things like, well, it depends on how you interpret something. And I'm talking about any subject when you're talking about something that's biblical.
Let me interject right there. Right there.
Go ahead.
When people say to me, you can interpret it any way, then what I do is I say,
yes.
Wow, thank you. I didn't know you thought I was that good looking, but I don't really agree with you. And they'll go, what? And I'll say, no, it's not about my wife. And I start just saying nonsensical things, you know, incomplete sentences, and they don't get it. And, as, you know, and the point is, well, if it, the Bible can be interpreted any way you want, then I can interpret what you're saying any way I want.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, I like that. That's what I try to do, too, because if I got, you know, I have to go and look it up sometimes on Google because I don't know all the Bible verses. But when I look it up, I'll bring it up and say, let's see what God's Word says, what God's Word says in context. And I always try to tell them that, in context. Because, you know that, people can make the Bible say whatever they want. That's where you get Mormonism, and that's where you get Black Hebrew Israelites and whoever else. Those people are so difficult. Yes, because they twist it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is what God says. And especially with the Israelite people, they just love to argue. Man, I would love to hear you debate one of them. That'd
I'd
be great.
Love to.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah.
Somebody's got the cojones to, you know, to do it with you. That'd be cool.
Well,
I mean, seriously, I think you'd get some. I mean, it'd be on your Carm. It'd probably be on Facebook. It'd be on maybe YouTube. So that was really good because those are probably the hardest people to deal with, I think, except for other than atheists. Atheists are also very difficult.
Well, they're hard-headed,
you know?
But atheism is very easy to defeat, but they're hard-headed.
Mm.
Catholicism's easy to defeat, but they're hard-headed also. When people are loyal to an agenda more than Jesus, there you go. Now, that's why you have problems. Simple.
Hey, one more thing before we go, so you might be able to get one more call in. What do you think about, now, I'm not Catholic. I'm born-again believer, of course, but what about people who claim to be Catholic, but they do not practice any of those idolatry? They just strictly go with the authority coming from the Word of God, like the stuff that Martin Luther did. And they've seen the light.
If they say they're Catholic and then they don't hold to Catholicism, how are they then? Are they Roman Catholic? So that's, you got to ask these questions and see, well, what are you holding to? What judges, what makes you judge, the judge of what the Catholic Church teaches? You know, and if they say, well, the scripture, good, now we can talk. And so we always got to get down to that ultimate source of authority and consistency and things like that, which is the Word of God. All right,
they never seem to have an answer when I tell them, do you remember about Martin Luther? They don't ever seem to have an answer for that.
They don't know too much about Martin Luther, but that's okay. It's all right. Anyway.
All right.
All right, buddy, we got a couple
talk
calls.
To you again soon.
All right,
we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's get to Mike from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Mike, welcome. You're on the air. Mike?
I just wanted to ask about a scripture and see if you're aware of it or you know where I can find it.
Okay.
Jesus and Judas Iscariot are walking down a path, and Jesus and Judas are talking, and they see a man preaching the Word of God, and Judas says, Master, this man's preaching the word of God and he knows you not. And Jesus said, leave him be. You know, that's between him and my Father. I'm not even sure if it's a scripture.
Yeah.
Something somebody told me. I drive a truck. I don't have a lot of time to read. I work 70 hours plus a week. And what time I do have to read, it's, I don't really remember where I read stuff. That's not why I study the Bible. I don't go around quoting scripture, and I read it for my personal betterment.
Right. That's
just,
how to,
I just want to ask about that scripture. See if you knew where it was at and what it and what exactly it meant.
Well, it's in Mark 9:38. All right, so if you're able to find that. John said to him, "Teacher, it says John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. We tried to prevent him, but he was not following us. And Jesus says, don't hinder him." So that's Mark 9 talks about that, but that's the, not Judas. I don't know about that being Judas. I've not heard that.
Okay. Well, you know, you hear a lot of stuff. I talk to a lot of guys. I don't have a smartphone. I just have a little. I'm an old guy. I just have a flip phone. Don't care about a smartphone. I don't buy into all that.
That's okay.
And
but let me tell you, that's in Mark 9 and Luke 9. So he just those just Mark 9 and Luke 9. And you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you have those two in the middle of the Gospels there, Mark 9. And you can go read. You'll find it. You'll find it in there. In one
okay.
Of the, both
well,
of the
context of, the context of the conversation was about how even false prophets, even people that preach the Word of God and claim to know every verse in the Bible, and you can tell that they're doing it for the money. They're doing it because they want to be seen, you know, and they don't even believe in God, but they're preaching the Word of God. Don't they also have a place? I mean, couldn't they still be part of God's plan? Because
everybody,
I mean, they can get somebody in.
Everybody is part of God's plan. He works all things after the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1:11.
Right.
So
you know, you're talking bad about the Catholic Church. I was born Catholic, raised Catholic. I've taken, I think, 6 out of 7 or 8 sacraments. That's how good a Catholic I am. I can't remember how many sacraments there are. But,
I
don't slam anybody else's religion because.
Okay, well, hold on. We're up out of time here, but there are false religions, and we have to tell people that they are false. Okay?
Well,
we have to, we're out of time.
That, yeah.
We're out of time, buddy. Sorry, we're out of time. Hey, folks, sorry about that. You'll be on there tomorrow by God's grace, and hopefully we'll talk to you then. So have a great evening, everyone. And remember, Bible study I'll be teaching in 2.5 hours from now. May the Lord bless you. 9:30 Eastern time. God bless. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.